Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Truth. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex.
Are the Bible's prophecies today's reality?
This could be the sign that signals the return of Christ.
World leaders are working behind the curtain.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. Secret society, secret oath, secret proceedings.
Now, get ready for an hour of truth that will make you think. We'll examine Bible prophecy and see how close we are to the return of Jesus Christ for His church.
You're in the zone. Politics, Israel, the Middle East, the revised European superstate,
and more, all in the zone. This is the Prophecy Zone with your host, Phil Armstrong.
Let you understand how devious these people is and think it's funny. They sit up in the White House and they have these dinners roasting the president, and then he gets up there and he's laughing about sending drones into Pakistan killing people. Or weapons of mass destruction. Oh, not up on the hitter. You know, this is crazy. But let me bring my guest on. I have no commercials because this is a different account. So we're just going to go ahead and get on with having our guest on today. Mr. Chapman, he was born in Boston, has an MA, and he's attending Northeastern University, majoring in business management. He spent 3 years in the United States military, counterintelligence, most in Europe. He speaks German, French, and is conversant in
Spanish.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes. That is awesome. You took good care of yourself. What are you doing these days? And we'll go from there.
These days, I write and do a radio program. I do about 25 to 30 hours a week on the radio, and I publish 2 publications a week that run usually 40 to 50 pages each.
Yes, indeed. You are very articulate and letting people know what's going on. I appreciate you coming on the show. You are a wonderful guest, and I appreciate you a lot, especially on Alex Jones. I mean, I'm just mesmerized at the quality of information that you give out. Let's start with the economy and go from there. I just want to go ahead and get to the point of why. And when do you think the markets will, and if you think the markets will collapse in the not too distant future?
Well, I think the most important thing is to try to understand, and I know it's difficult for people, that what you're experiencing economically and financially, not only in the United States, but throughout the world, is not by chance. It's not because of incompetence. It's because it's been planned that way.
Yeah.
And if you can accept that, and some people find it very difficult to accept, and it's nothing new. These sort of things have been going on for many years. But if you can accept that, you sprung yourself from the box and you're outside the box and you're thinking independently. You're not sitting back and believing all of the things that you've been told for perhaps the last 100 years and or more. And so if you can do that, then you have an opportunity to learn what's really going on. I spent several years in Army counterintelligence in the early 1950s, and it was a very educational experience. I was thrown in with probably some of the finest minds in the country. Some of the people reached great heights in their fields, and my mind was open. But one of the things that I found that really disturbed me, and we were spying on the Russians and the East Germans and the Poles and all of the Soviet bloc countries. The thing that really got me was that when I first went in, I found out that the Japanese diplomatic code had been broken in 1937 and the German codes were broken in 1938, and that the United States government knew that the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor, so they lined the ships up so they could do it.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I look back, I found that my whole attitude as a very intelligent, streetwise kid that came from a poor family was having a whole new world open up to them that heretofore they never dreamed existed. the government did things that they shouldn't have done. And so that was the beginning of my real education. And the evolutionary process through the years has made me understand that there are evil forces behind all governments that are coordinated, and people do things that satisfy them and not the populace or the people of any particular country. And so with that said, the economy today has been damaged deliberately. And we have just gone through, since probably 1988, a very difficult time. In 1990-92, the Federal Reserve and the government had the opportunity to fix the system. They refused to do it. They cranked up the economy in the mid-1990s, and of course we had the dot-com boom, and what happened after that was that we had a crash. And fortunately, for the last 20 years, I've been right 98% of the time, and we got everybody out of the market in the second week of April, which was only 3 or 4 weeks after the top in the market. That was followed by the entry into gold and silver related assets, and which is one of my specialties for over 50 years. At one time I was the largest gold silver stockbroker in the world. And so we've been in that venue since, which is the antithesis of what is going on. And so what they're doing is they're trying to bring the world economy down to a relatively soft landing. They're having a very difficult time doing it. Who are they? And those are the people who belong to the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberger Group, the Illuminati, people who are connected throughout the world with one another, and they're Luciferian in nature. And yeah, these people continue to try to bring us forward to the time when essentially they're going to pull the plug economically and financially.
Wow.
And so that's the situation we're at. Now, just recently, I made a call, which nobody else did actually, that the market was going to be taken up, and the reason why was there was going to be another quantitative easing. And I was right. And what is that going to end up doing? It's going to end up creating terrible inflation. And maybe they'll even do it again. I don't know. We won't know until we get there. But we're going to have some very difficult inflation. We have high inflation now, but governments lie about those things. And so to get to your question, the stock market is being levitated and elevated by three elements. Number one, the major corporations are doing well because they fired half their people and they have access to pretty cheap money. Number two, we have a group called the Working Group in Financial Markets, which manipulates all markets in the world 24/7. And number three, we have an underlying terrible world unemployment problem, and it's getting worse. And it's really not going to improve very much, even if $5 trillion additional dollars is poured onto the economy over the next 2 years, like $2.5 trillion was the previous 2 years. And so this is generally where we're headed. Sooner or later, the stock market will go down. Interest rates will go up. And the U.S. will not be able to fund its debt, and they will have to monetize their debt by having the Federal Reserve buy U.S. debt, which they're doing already and have been for a long time. And then that monetization process caused more inflation.
Yeah, it seems like they're digging a hole, and they come on and ask them, how are you going to get out that hole? I'm going to keep digging. It's almost laughable. But the thing is, a lot of those people who stay in office, they want to stay in office, so they're trying to cure the problem, not thinking that they're gonna leave the problem for another generation and the next administration. They continue to dig the hole deeper and deeper and deeper by trying to solve the problem with the very thing that got us in the problem in the first place, which is leverage and debt. What happened on, I think it was in May, the markets crashed about 1,000 points. What was the deal with that?
And then do you mean recently from 11,200 to 9,600?
Yeah, well, what happened is that one day, in about 15 minutes, the market dropped 1,000
right.
points. What was the deal with that?
The deal with that was that they, in the market today, 72% of the trades are made via algorithms, black boxes.
Yeah.
And so there's very few, you know, few people independently in the market, because if you add on the institutions, market participation by individual investors is only about 8%. So what they did is they used an algorithmic program, and it went wild. It
yeah.
simply went wild and took the market down that way.
Wow. That's crazy. War that we've been sort of pushed into with Iran, it seems like a military buildup. It seems obvious that something's going to happen pretty soon. Is that war particularly, in your eyes, is it going to happen? And President Obama's way of trying to get out of the mess that he is in?
Well, first of all, the President of the United States, the person who's legally unqualified to be president, doesn't make any decisions whatsoever. They're all made for him. And that's the truth of every president for a long time.
Yes.
And he, through the people who speak for him, does what he's told. And the answer to your question is yes, the chances of war with Iran and Israel and the United States is about 85%.
Sure.
And I don't think it's too far off.
Uh-huh.
It could be, you know, in the next couple of months, because everything is lined up. The new excuse is that Russia is introducing uranium rods so that they can get their nuclear reactor going. And Israel wants to attack and do away with that. The problem that Israel has is that the Russians have just set up new missiles which are in the path of Israeli aggression. And if Israel were to attack Iran, they would lose a lot of aircraft, because these missiles are extremely effective. And I think an attack on Iran would bring in Russia and China, and that's what the static is, and that's we're having trouble hearing each other.
Yeah.
It began as we went on the air, unfortunately, and
okay.
I've had about 25 of them in the last 30 days, because I live in the third world. And
yeah.
So we'll have to put up with it.
I didn't know you. I mean, where are you at now?
Yeah, I'm in South America.
I'm listening. Oh, that's a recording, trust me. Wow, I didn't know that. All that time I did not know that. Let's talk about the interlocking of the economies of the world. And talk to me about individual domino effect. I don't know if I'm asking the question right, but I know the United States is interlocked with everybody else in the free, you know, the free trade and all that other stuff. But talk to me about how interlocking are all the economies of the world? How dependent? So if one sneezes, the other one, and then related to the coming collapse that could be worldwide?
Well, what happens in the United States is reflected everywhere. They have the largest military in the world, and as we all know, they have operations going in many places. And whatever they do affects the entire world, to some extent at least.
Yeah.
And it's been that way for many, many years. And they've used this industrial military complex to cower people throughout the world into submission so that they will do what the United States tells them to do. I mean, I've talked to heads of countries and ex-heads of countries who told me, look, they said, the United States said to us, if you do that, we'll destroy you.
Wow. Wow.
And it doesn't have to be military. I mean, they can cut off their phones and their internet and their banking and all kinds of other things that would make life extraordinarily difficult for people in other nations.
Yeah. How is Europe doing their endeavor to stay out of financial trouble?
Well, Europe is doing dreadfully, but not as bad as the United States and not as bad as England. England is in worse shape than the U.S. And I've done a number of radio and television programs and interviews with top newspapers in Greece, as an example, and now the BBC and Deutsche Welle and French International as well. And there's a big problem, and that is that problem has existed for many years. It's just not something new. The case of Greece and Italy in particular being semi-solvent for perhaps 25 or 30 years, but yet we're still invited to be members of the European Union, which was ridiculous. For those of you who don't know, there are 27 countries in the European Union, and 16 of those countries are part of the Eurozone that use the Euro. And so with that said, Greece and Italy should have never been accepted in the Euro in the first place. I mean, I wrote about it 12 years ago. And so this was nothing new. And then they had, when they started, and still, in the Eurozone, they have one interest rate that fits all. And that's the most insane thing I've ever heard. And I wrote that when they finalized the Maastricht Treaty 12 years ago. But nobody was listening. And so what happened was that those low interest rates, relatively speaking, to some nations, such as Ireland, Portugal, Spain, Greece, and Italy, allowed these countries to get into deep trouble. And we're seeing it now. And so the European Union and Eurozone members have said, look, we're going to come up with $1 trillion and we're going to fund you and everything's going to be okay. Well, it's not going to be okay because the real figure is $3 trillion. And everybody looks at the problem and the people who are in the middle of the problematic part of it. They don't look at all the lenders. And the lenders are countries such as Germany and France and others. And banks. Now, the banks knew they should have never, ever lent money to these countries in the first place, which they created out of thin air.
Yes.
And now they want the Greeks and the others to pay the money back, and I told them, don't do it. Because this is money that never existed.
Yes.
And I said, leave the Eurozone and go back to the drachma and cut costs 30%, and you only have a depression for 4 or 5 years, and you'll be off and running. And if you accede to the demands of the Eurozone and the IMF and the European Union, you'll be in depression for the next 30 to 50 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, Papandreou, who's the PM of the country, he doesn't want to hear that because he's a Bilderberger and a member of the Illuminati, just like all the leadership is in Europe.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So, with all this debt of these countries, now factor in derivatives, and paint a picture of how it looks with these highly sophisticated sharp gambling instruments, plus all the debt that these countries are intertwined. Go ahead and answer that question if you can.
Well, first of all,
derivatives
are insurance. You buy a bond and you only want the yield. You don't want the fluctuation of the bond. So you buy a derivative, an insurance policy, to protect you against the bond going up and down.
Uh-huh.
And let's say the yield is 3.5%. So you give up 0.5% of the yield in dollars or some currency to insure you against the fluctuation in the bond. And at the same time, you get your 3% net, and you live happily ever after. The problem is that there are $1.4 quadrillion worth of derivatives out there. Now, what is a quadrillion? It's the next step beyond a trillion. Most people don't know that. That's why I tell them. And so that's more money than there is in the entire world. And these derivatives are written very often with no collateralization. You saw what happened to Bear Stearns, Lehman Brothers, and AIG. They were doing that.
Wow. That's crazy.
And so it's a bomb that's yet to happen. And when it does, watch out below.
Oh, yes, indeed. Is the real estate market still factor into this substance?
Does the what?
Is the real estate market in the United States, is they still in the factoring into this?
Sure.
Wow.
Absolutely. We got everybody out of the real estate market in 05 and 06 at the latest, and everybody who was a subscriber was saved, and all of the people who listen, which are in the millions. So we helped a lot of people on that count. But the real estate market has not hit bottom. It's going to go down another 20 to 30% between now and 2015. Number one, all of the bad loans and the foreclosures are out there. But also, we have to consider all the loans that Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Ginnie Mae, and FHA have made over the past 2 years that now have to be reset or renewed. Half of them are going to fall out, because they should have been never making those subprime loans all over again like they allowed the banks to do before, just to keep the real estate market from collapsing further.
Wow.
So it's not going to go away for a long time. Commercial real estate is a dead duck. It'll go down 70 to 80%.
That's great. Wow. What is the ending... Hindenburg Omen Indicator. Do you know what that is?
Oh, the Hindenburg?
Yeah, the Hindenburg Omen Indicator.
Let me tell you something. All of these indicators are mumbo jumbo. And it's just like when you have the United States government interfering in every market in the world since 1988 legally, 24/7, you've got a problem. You can't use charts. You can't use waves and cycles and the Kondratiev theory and the Hindenburg, the gold-silver issue. You can't use them because the market is so distorted.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
You say to yourself, what do I do to protect myself? You buy gold and silver coins and bullion, and shares. And it's the only way that you can protect your assets. And if you don't do it, and you're not doing it, you're going to lose them.
What the dollar, talk about the dollar. What is the dollar going down, and what do you project it's going to do a little bit later?
Well, about 6 months ago, the dollar ran on the USDX. Now, the USDX is an index, and it consists of six major currencies versus the dollar. Now, that index went down to 74, and sometime previous to that, it had an all-time low of 71.18. It took off from 74 and went to 89. It recently traded at 80. It's now trading around 82.5. It's had a little rally in here. The dollar is going down. When you have inflation and you have the government with quantitative easing, creation of money and credit, you are going to have the dollar go down. There's no other way. And so when the dollar goes down, people say, well, why would I hold dollars? Maybe I should hold something else. What is the other strong currency in the world? And for 6,000 years, it's been gold. And that's why gold is going up. The dollar is under pressure. And we have a few currencies that are doing decently, which are the Swiss franc, the Canadian dollar, and the Australian dollar. But other than that, the rest of them have got serious problems, just like the U.S. has. So how do you avoid that? You stay out of currencies as much as possible, and you buy what I told you to buy, gold and silver, bullion, coins, and shares.
Now, do you believe, during an act of martial law, like they did in the 30s and 40s, do you think that they're going to try to establish some type of, or already have established some type of executive order or some law that says energy gold stop people from having that security?
Well, I got part of what you said, but I'll guess at the rest of it. Are we headed towards martial law? Was that a question?
Yeah. If we head towards martial law, will they eventually try to take the gold from us?
Right. Martial law wouldn't make gold and silver go higher because it would indicate that the social and political atmosphere in America was in dire straits. And that possibility exists. And the reason why is the public is finding out what's going on by listening to programs like yours and many others and via the internet, which is reaching everybody all over the world. And we know that because we get comments from people from everywhere and we have lots of subscribers spread throughout the entire world. And so the people are finding out who is doing what to them, why they're doing it, and what the final outcome will be if they're allowed to continue to do what they're doing. Now, these are the same people who have financed almost every war for the last 1,000 years or more. And so this is nothing new. This is why I get a real good handle on it, because I studied it for over 50 years, and I know history extraordinarily well. And so I back into what they're doing. That's how I was able to call the problem that we just saw that brought about the statement by the FOMC, which is the Federal Open Market Committee, which tells the Fed in Washington what to do. And we knew that was coming, and we predicted it. And quite frankly, nobody else did. But, yes, we're going to have trouble, not only in America, but throughout the world. And in some cases, some countries, it won't be too bad. It'll all be bad, but not as bad elsewhere as it might be in the United States or Europe. But there's going to be serious problems among the people, unemployment is terrible, and it's going to get worse. And the economy can't recover when you have 21.5% of the people unemployed.
Yeah.
And that's the real figure.
That is true. That is true. Talk to us about food. You said inflation earlier. You talked about inflation. Do you see the price of a loaf of bread going to a certain amount? That's ridiculous.
Well, we're having fires in Russia, and we've had other untoward weather events. We've also had other things happen, which I won't go into great deal of detail on, but I knew food prices were going to go higher, and I put that in the forecaster. We have a lot of subscribers who are farmers who came to us last January and February and said, what do you think we should do? We get silos full of wheat. And I said, sit on them. It's going higher. And I was right. And so what's going to happen? Look, before you do anything with anything, if you're poor, you buy extra canned goods and rotate them. If you're a little bit better than poor, you buy dehydrated and freeze-dried foods so that you can eat when you lose your job or when there's martial law or chaos in the country. You have a water filter. It was very important because you can go to a river and take out brackish water and drink it and use it. And then you have to have something to defend your family. These are prerequisites. These are things you have to have. And then if you have more money, and then you can go into gold and silver-related assets to keep the buying power of that money available to you.
Yeah, yes, indeed. The soon to come, what they call it, October fiscal cycle, is also coming with an election. Do you think that the election makes any difference? Or is it just the same old, same old thing? No change at all.
Well, many of the professionals in my journalistic profession say that there's no hope because they'll rig the elections. I can't countenance myself to say I'm going to give up because they might rig an election or many elections. And so my feeling is that, and I tell people over and over again, go out in November and kick every incumbent out of office, with minor exception. Get rid of them. They're all on the take. They're all being paid off by powers behind government, the banking industry, Wall Street, insurance, pharmaceuticals, and transnational conglomerates. They own you. They own our government, and they own our country, and we got to take it back from them. And the way you do it is get them out of office. And I want to promise you, if you don't do it, you're going to live on your knees, and so aren't your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. They're going to become enslaved. Now, I don't have enough time in this program to tell you why, but that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll cover that. it seems to me that we are converging on a constitutional trashing of the Constitution. I mean, unconstitutional trashing of the Constitution. What do you suppose the president will do to, once he gets in on to all of this act, all these things are supposed to be transpiring in the near future? You think he will write off the Constitution and join some type of a union because of, like, for instance, NAFTA? Or do you think he would just throw in the towel, commit a kamikaze, and let the next person fix it?
Well, I think what's going to happen is that the presidency doesn't make any decisions. And he doesn't even understand economics and finance in the smallest way. And most of the people in Congress don't either, because they don't even read the bills. I mean, that's how bad the situation is. And it's not that they're dumb. They're just professional criminals. Yeah. They're there to steal as much as they can get their hands on. And this is no different than what has existed for thousands of years among the political class. They're just financial whores. It's very simple. And so they're going to continue to do what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
And that's why you got to get rid of them.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think NAFTA's is a real entity? Or I know NAFTA seems to be helping in outsourcing our jobs and our factories. Talk to me about the manufacturing base and why the people out there should know that comparison to 1929 and 1930, where they actually had some type of a manufacturing base and they also had stations, now the people of today, we really don't have a manufacturing base. We don't manufacture anything. Talk to us about the importance of having a manufacturing base to come back from the edge.
Well, all the real wealth in America and every place else has always been made through manufacturing. And an effort was begun in the late 1950s to end America's supremacy in that category.
Yeah.
And they did that by bringing about GATT, the General Agreement on Trades and Tariffs. And that graduated into the WTO, which is called the World Trade Organization. And what that was all about is moving jobs out of the United States. We had to achieve the goal of becoming a third world nation. And I wrote an article for the American Mercury in 1967 about just that. And of course, everybody thought I was nuts. And here today it was dead on. And now they're listening to some extent.
Yes,
now, we have lost 8 million jobs in the last 11 years to free trade, globalization, outsourcing, and offshoring.
Yeah.
And it's still going on in a major way, and it's not going to stop unless we have legislation stopping it to reintroduce tariffs.
Yeah.
And we've always had tariffs ever since 1780.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me. 1800. And so that is the way to solve that problem. It is incredible, absolutely incredible, that America would stand by its politicians elected by their constituents who supposedly these people represent. And we have these millions of people unemployed. And nobody cares. I mean, people who are making $30 an hour, and now if they're lucky, they have a job, they're making $12, $10, $8. And so there's no hope that the American economy can ever recover until we put in tariffs. I mean, we had the same problem during the 1790s. We allowed British mercantilism. We practiced it, which is free trade and globalization. And we almost destroyed the United States. We destroyed our currency, the Continental. And finally, Congress got smart and they said, hey, we can't do this anymore. We're destroying ourselves. So let's put up tariff barriers. And we had them ever since until the people behind the scenes decided that this was a good way to destroy America, so we could implement world government worldwide. And this is, all comes back to the same thing. This is what they're doing, and nobody wants to talk about it except me and a handful of other people.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Do you believe that the dumbed-down public, I think to me that the only thing we're concerned about now is the new NFL season. what Lindsay Lohan is doing, and you know, various other entities, including the oil spill still. Do you think that the American people will see this a potential economy and downturn of the economy? You think that they will see it coming? I already know it's in the progress of going right now, and it seems that it's tolerable for most people, even though people are losing their jobs. Not everybody's walking around with a barrel over their body. So when these things happen, you think the American people are actually going to wake up one day and find that the stock market is at 2,000 and there are actually people walking around in the streets wearing barrels? Or would it be gradual?
Well, it's possible, but not probable, the barrel syndrome. But what they're going to find is the house is gone, the cars are gone. There's no place to live. They're under a bridge. They got a shopping cart with all their worldly goods, maybe two of them, and an AK-47 and 1,000 rounds of ammo. Now, you tell me what you think they're going to do.
They're going to go rob somebody.
And that's what it's going to come to. This is where we're headed. And the people who caused all this know this. And we can't allow ourselves to get sucked in to a revolution. We have to let the military take care of that. And if we want to do that, what we do is we help the military, because they're going to be on our side.
Yeah.
And I hope the local police are listening, because they better be on our side, or they're going to have serious problems.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed. I do believe that the goodwill of humans will prevail, as far as what the Russian economist said, that the United States will break up into fragments. I don't want to see that happen, but at the same time, I don't think the American people are, even if they woke up and smelled the coffee, I think that they will fight at that time for their freedom back. But it's the sad thing that we have to lose them this way, that people are so concerned about their own affairs that they don't even understand the Constitution. They don't understand what we had until it's all gone. You know? But
our Constitution has been stolen. You know, and that's why we publish every week, twice a week, in the International Forecaster, which is about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues. You get 80 pages a week in the email copies, and we publish twice a month as well for the people who are not on the internet. And if you want to get a free introductory copy, all you have to do is go to one of our sites. One of them is theinternationalforecaster.com, theinternationalforecaster.com, or www.intforecaster.com. That's intforecaster.com. Or you can, if you have questions, email us, and we answer everybody. That address is bob@intforecaster.com, almost the same as the new site that we have up. And if you would like, you can call toll-free to 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178. And you can get a free introductory copy there. Or they have a special offer there for a free one-year subscription if you'd like to take advantage of that.
That sounds great. Thank you for giving that information out. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope your weather gets better than that.
Well, as you probably heard, the storm has passed, so I'm happy about that. But it also means I can't play golf tomorrow because it's going to be so wet I won't be able to take my golf cart out.
Wow. Well, it'll get better if you play golf. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Chapman, for being on the show. It was a wonderful interview, and I look forward to the next interview. God bless.
Well, thank you, and thank you all for listening. Bye-bye.
That was Bob Chapman, a wonderful interview. I hope you guys gleaned from that interview that we need to prepare for a storm that is coming to the United States that will cost us our freedom and our liberties and also our economic well-being that we have enjoyed so much in this nation for so long of a time. I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and then I'll be back. And we'll probably end the show a little bit early, but I still want to say some stuff, but we'll be right back.
Soon.
We are in the last days.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the Scripture tells of His coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone.
What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Okay. This is me live. That was a recording, so I guess I should have said that on my advertisement, but I guess I'm going to have to do that a little bit later. I was actually sitting around while my wife was watching TV where I was kind of managing things, but I didn't have the chat room because the Adobe Flasher program seems to always not work on this laptop, so I had forgot it wasn't probably going to work. I apologize for the caller. I'm not going to take any calls, so I guess I have to let you guys know that all of this. This is the first time I actually downloaded something from YouTube. I'm sorry, from Blog Talk Radio, a show that was already created and uploaded it again. It actually turned out pretty darn decent. Well, everything worked out pretty well. Join us tomorrow as we welcome Prophecy in the News from Blog Talk Radio. John in Phoenix, I think I'm pronouncing his name right. Ray and John, I think. And then also Friday, we're going to have L.A. Mazzulli, but it's going to be a taped interview from last Sunday, I think it was. And then I've also put on there Terry James, and I think it was Monday. I had downloaded all these files today. And starting in September, we're going to have a lot of people coming on. We're going to try to get Ron Paul on, and also Gerald Celente to come on the show. We're also working on even having Alex Jones come on. I don't know if we're popular enough for him, but go figure. Anyway, if you're out there, just go ahead and listen to our archive show. Go, if you're on Blog Talk Radio, go onto the search engines and type in Prophecy Zone Network, and also Prophecy Zone Radio. So you punch in Prophecy Zone Network, and you get some interviews that I've done, and also Prophecy Zone Radio, which I am in the process of uploading all the interviews that I did over on the network. So we're working on the network, and the Lord will time Terry, so we'll get this thing up and running. Like I said, I apologize for the caller. I saw you kept calling in, but I had so much noise around me, and I couldn't stop the file, and I can't even get into my chat room. So if you were in the chat room, I couldn't communicate with you there. So I deeply apologize for that. God bless everybody out there. I am keeping my eye on the news, and let's pray for our markets. Let's pray for the economy. And keep in mind, anything, any scenario could take place, because I've been, as far as Bibles and prophecy is concerned, because I've been looking at this stuff for a while, and I'm starting to believe that we all probably could be wrong about the scenario. And I'm not talking for the benefit of the people who love the world. I'm talking about we could be wrong, and the thing could be a lot worse than we think it's going to get. Or I could be wrong, and so if my guests, some of my guests could be wrong, where God wraps everything up within a week's time span. But what I mean by that is there are wars that precede the tribulation period. And when I first started, it was just Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. And then a little bit later, Isaiah 17 was added to that. And then a little bit later, Psalms 83 just came out the woodworks. So with that being said, everybody thinks these wars will have to take a year to accomplish, or 2 years. But these wars can actually be accomplished within 1 week or even a couple of days. Because after examining Ezekiel 38 and 39, I don't even know what most of these people are talking about. Even some of my guests, when they're talking about Israel has to become rich. All you need to do is discover something like oil, or discover some gas line, or discover something, and you right away you're probably rich. You're considered rich. But after reading the book of Ezekiel, I don't read into that Israel has to be rich. Now, there has to be some type of hooks in the jaws. But remember, Iran was not rich. Iran had oil, right? So that drawed us into there to get their oil, right? It sure wasn't because Osama bin Laden had weapons of mass destruction. So my point is that Israel does not have to be super rich. People are acting like they have to tear down Israel and rebuild it, and it has glass buildings. And everybody's rich. Everybody's holding, a golden cup. And oh, please help me in the great people hall. No, it's not like that. And then what else? The other thing they said, that Israel has to be dwelling peaceful and safe. I don't see where you get that from in Ezekiel 38, 39. The only word I say is safety. Now, it hints of some form of peace, but to me that means comfortable. Or you're living somewhat arrogantly, safely. And that's not the case for Israel, because Israel will be attacked. So those are guidelines for the book of Ezekiel war, supposedly. But those are bad guidelines because, and then people say, well, the Psalms 83 war, the armies are not ready yet, or the Ezekiel 38, 39, the armies are not ready yet. They have to do what? To me, I believe that a lot of Bible prophecy buffs are going to be surprised. We're going to be very much surprised. I believe that there is a rapture, and I can't get away from that. I've studied it and can't find a reason why it shouldn't be a rapture. But I also studied to try to figure out why there shouldn't be a rapture, and I can't find any reason. So some of the people, like one of my guests, this person said an excellent thing. He said, these people, L.A. Mazzulli, I think it was, he said, these people suffer from, they want to be martyrs. That's their goal. They want to be martyrs. And they suffer from wanting to be a martyr for Christ. And it's sort of ridiculous because it's also borderlining what the suicide bombers do. And then people say, well, you think you're going to do this, and you think the church needs to be purified. What are you talking about? The church needs to go through purified. God's not going to. God said the church is. The church is weak. Well, Jesus said in Luke 21:34 and 36, it says, pray that you be found worthy to escape these things. And then also said to the church of Philadelphia, I will keep you out of the time of testing that is coming upon the whole world. This is what he said. So my thing to y'all is this thing can take off. It could still happen this year. I mean, this stuff can explode within 3, 4, 5 day period. Because if you read Isaiah 17:17, which to me happens in correlation with Psalms 83, which is Israel's bordering nation, this thing explodes. Israel gets into it with Syria. Syria starts exchanging chemical weapons. Israel goes over and drops a nuke on Damascus, and Russia responds. Russia and the Confederation of Nations respond. But if you read Isaiah 17, it says that the nations rush in like a mighty wind. That means immediately. And then the Bible says before evening time trouble. And before the sun comes up, they are not. So Psalm 83 happens first, which is Israel's border nations fighting against them, which is Jordan, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Hezbollah, Hamas. These countries come up against them. Then Israel gets into it with Syria, drops a nuke on Damascus, and at the end of that chapter, it says the nations rush in like a mighty wind. So immediately, that could be immediately. There is no pause. That Russia immediately comes down and invades Israel, and God takes the church out simultaneously. This stuff can happen quickly. Now, I'm not saying it's happening this year. I'm just saying whenever it happens, it can happen so fast. And that is what God was saying in his word about be ready for an hour that you think not the Son of Man coming. Maybe he was talking about that because in the tribulation period, you got to be able to count the exact time. And that's spoken of in Revelations. It's spoken of in Daniel. You got to be able to count the exact time to the time when Jesus rides in on a white horse within 40-something days, within 35 days, 30 to 35 days, I forgot what it was. So there's a big chance that the book of Noah, when he went into the ark and he preached the gospel for 100, I don't know why I get the book of Noah for, but he preached the gospel for 120 years. And just the Bible says, just in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and giving in marriage. Same thing with Lot. His wife looked back, turned to a pillar of salt. Some of his family members got out, him and his family girls got out. Wow. Okay. So this stuff could happen quickly. It still can happen this year. I'm a fall feast person, so I believe it starts in September, October, November time frame. All the stuff could happen, or next year, or the year after next, or the year after next. Whenever it happens, it can happen very quickly. That's what Jesus was saying in Revelations, I come quickly. It could be that fast. And nobody's thinking it can be that fast. So why do I keep harping on it? Because it's important. Okay. It's important that we always be ready. And I can go into something, I can go into another piece. I can talk to y'all about always being ready, because when somebody said, well, y'all said we should always be ready. You know, there's some smart lady or some smart dude would be, oh, we should always be ready. Are you, for real? So So the preacher's not preaching against, preaching about end times. It's like a football coach not preaching or teaching when the game is going to be, when the big game, Super Bowl, NFC Championship, Heck, National Championship, State Championship, high school football. We want to know, folks. We want to know. We want to know when the outcome is. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and pause for a second, and you're going to hear theme song, and I pray for our nation, pray for this country. I'm feeling that some of my sources are saying that there's a possibility of a market crash. We could have another year. It still will be inside of the generation, but I'm starting to think that maybe not, it can go, we don't know exactly when this stuff is going to take place. We just don't know. But I'm saying, what I'm saying tonight is that be ready. This stuff could happen within a week. And I mean not a week from now, but the stuff that I just mentioned, Psalms 83, Isaiah 17, and Ezekiel 38, 39, which are wars that will precede the tribulation period, which will also include the rapture of the church, and which will also include the rising of the Antichrist, can take place in 1 week period. Now, the Bible doesn't teach that, but I'm just saying to y'all, be ready, because this stuff can happen very quickly upon the world stage. Because a lot of us are looking onward. We could be possibly right, but at the same time, just in case, to let y'all know, don't let your guards down. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and end the show, so it's going to be a pause, and then I'm going to walk to my computer and do my theme song. God bless.